Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 49, recorded on Monday, February 27th, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And it's Mobile Congress Week, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, first we should just go ahead and introduce our guest. Tim Schofield, Media Relations Administrator. Schofield, did I say your last name wrong? Dang it.
Yeah, it's Schofield.
Sorry, Tim. At least I didn't say the wrong
first
name.
Well, it looks like Schofield, Tim. What is up with that?
I know. It does. I get that a lot, all the time.
I'm sure you do. Sorry about that.
No, I'm glad you corrected me. You're the Media Relations Administrator at Android Creative Syndicate, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, AC Syndicate.
So explain AC Syndicate a little bit, because I've seen you guys a little bit on XDA forums. I've seen it come up there quite a bit, and you have a lot of videos on YouTube. What exactly is your focus at Android Creative Syndicate?
Well, what we do originally, we started as a development team where we would get a group of developers, themers, graphics guys, just a good group of guys where we would come up with ROMs, kernels, we would make themes as well for different phones, for rooted users, of course. Mm-hmm. We started with that, and then we just branched out to more. We're more into news as well now. We definitely still have the development team, but we have a homepage. As you can see up on the screen, we got top Android news going on there, and then we have a forum as well with download links to ROMs and such, other ACS work.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, your videos are great. You guys go into really nice, gritty detail on a lot of these kind of root and ROM topics, as you said, that are that can be kind of difficult for just the average everyday Android user to kind of parse and everything. You guys do a really good job of that. So we're super happy to have you on the show.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Tim.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
This week, as you know, as I just said, it's a ton of Mobile World Congress updates, Google Glasses. We're going to talk about, and the arena is a free-for-all for all of us. I wanted to just start off. There was a video that the Android developers just posted today from Android Day 1 at Mobile World Congress. And, man, it makes me jealous. So listeners of audio, it's the big Android booth, and there's lots of phones and robots and Android paraphernalia.
So cool. It's like a fun house of Android.
And smoothies and, you know, app developers that are there kind of talking about what they're doing with Android and sort of, you know, sort of the innovations that are happening. And
so it looks like the booth does look like what the cartoon was on the page.
Yes.
Last week. Remember we were looking?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. There's the hanging Android head and stuff like that. Man, this looks, it's like Disney for Android.
Right. There's all these pins that you can get, lots of fun toys. And now they're showing off these glasses. It's kind of, I think, a little bit in parallel to what we might be talking about later in the news.
So what you're saying, Eileen, is that next year we're totally going to be there?
Totally, I hope.
Is that what you're saying?
Start saving our pennies
now. Trying. Yeah. I'm hoping. I'm willing it to happen. Because this looks like a field day for us. I mean, that's amazing. And not just, obviously, this is Google and their Android booth, but Samsung is there. All the hardware manufacturers that we always talk about and we will be talking about today are there, too.
It's been interesting because, you know, CES was not 2 months ago. And there was some Android news there, but it really seems like, you know, Mobile World Congress.
This is where we should be.
It's like 75% Android, all the stuff that we've seen coming out of there.
We were talking to Tom before the show started, and he was saying, he's like, Mobile World Congress is all Android. It's like dominating, which I guess makes sense because, you know, what else is there really? I mean, there's Apple and there's iOS and everything. It seems as if, you know, Windows is a little lighter and all that sort of stuff. So Android is emerging to be the dominant kind of platform.
And there's the slide. There's a big old slide. I don't know if you saw.
I want to go on the slide.
I know. I want to play. Show the slide
like
one
a
more
big
time.
Playground.
Yay!
Yeah, know, exactly. Right? You see, this is why we didn't go, is because you would never get me off that slide.
I know. That would be wrong single time.
Like, we did you see that All About Android guy? He's on the slide again. Seriously.
Leo would be like, we sent All About Android out there to cover it, but they aren't doing the show. They canceled because there's a slide.
No, there's just 6 hours of video of me going down the slide in different, like, face first, all, you know, backwards.
So, Chad, there's also another link above that. Hugo Barra of Google and of the Android team. Now, he has posted a ton of photos. What I'm really curious is the actual shaped Android ice cream sandwich. is we're scrolling by for audio listeners. There's a smoothie bar. Again,
oh,
there's various
actual
slides.
They have actual Android.
A robot.
Yeah, we've got robots. There's a slide. Keep going.
This is not even fair.
It's a playground. I want to win one of those Android plushies.
Would you expect anything less from Google, though?
No, that's
a very good
exactly.
point. There it is.
There it is.
Ice cream sandwich. Yum, yum. Enjoy.
You know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier for during our prep for TNT.
Jelly beans.
So there's a bowl. We're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But we're thinking about, like,
boy,
if you go to an event like this and they offer you a bowl of jelly beans or a bowl of ice cream sandwiches, which one is even more delicious?
You take both.
You take
run.
Both.
And you take both and run to the slide.
Please do not give me gingerbread. Like I want ice cream sandwich.
I feel like in the realm of desserts, we're taking a step backwards. Jelly bean, not as delicious as ice cream sandwich.
Jelly beans have their place. They have their place in the world.
Okay. What do you think, Tim? This is hard pressing question right here.
I definitely want to be there.
All right. Well, all this fun. Oh, and there's Hugo himself, and he's going to try and attempt to get a Android plushie using a tablet.
Using a tablet.
So the tablet's
the accelerometer.
Yeah,
right.
That's moving the crane. That's really cool.
See, nice. I would totally play this for hours.
At I.O.
And he missed.
Google I.O. last year.
Oh, did you? You saw that at Google I.O.?
Well, they were talking about, exactly.
It wasn't at Google I.O. No. That's why
but
I was
we didn't get to do that. They didn't have that particular booth to win a plushie. But,
let's get into it.
Let's get into our news. All right, we already made a little bit of a reference to it, but there is a meeting room, a private meeting room at Mobile World Congress that Google has, and in the middle of the meeting room, there is a huge bowl of jelly beans. Now, go ahead and push into
what,
that.
I don't know what
picture.
That means.
What does that mean? And there's an Android with rocket feet beaming up to the sky. Come on, right? I mean, they haven't officially said anything, but we think that the next OS will be called Jelly Bean, and maybe this is a hint.
That's a little nod to it.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's the next letter.
I don't know.
Jell-O is trademarked.
I honestly just think that they like to serve jelly beans at events, and they thought people might want to eat them.
I don't remember jelly beans at Google I.O., but
true.
Maybe I wasn't looking for that.
Well, but it begs the question that if jelly bean is indeed the name, you know, they put those big things outside the office down in Mountain View.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put like one big jelly bean or like a pile of jelly beans.
Oh, it's just like a jar with a ton of jelly beans.
Probably going to be what you just saw there, you
with
know,
the
like
bowl.
A larger version of the bowl
there you go.
With a little Android guy popping out the top or something.
And they'll be fake, right? Because you don't want people going in there trying to grab gross jelly beans.
Yeah.
In all seriousness now, Andy is back. Andy Rubin, the leader of Android,
of the Android
creator, and he is back, and he had a lot to say just yesterday, because there he is. Andy said 850K Android activations a day, 300 million total devices, with 12 million of that tablets. He did have a jab, said, I wasn't trying to go and commoditize a bunch of people and make all their products look the same.
Ooh, zing.
Zing.
Look at that photo. Look at that. It's like,
and he's like,
Android.
You know, hey, here I am. We're doing pretty well.
No big
curiously
deal.
Enough, yeah, no big deal.
He kind of looks like he just doesn't care.
Don't really know what's going on with Motorola. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, he did say that those numbers don't include the Kindle Fire. Now, he's not saying that right now, Chad. Devices like the Kindle Fire are not included in those numbers. So I'm wondering, when we talk about apps later, I'm guessing that the Kindle Fire apps are not counted in that? I don't know. That was the one question that I had.
Because they don't go through Google's marketplace, they go through Amazon's marketplace. Exactly. So how would they have any data on that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
I did think it was interesting that he kind of confirmed. Maybe we've had this confirmation in the past, but it was nice to hear him kind of reconfirm it that Google only counts activations once per device ID. They don't chop things up when users do things like reset or sell their phones, root, ROM, all that kind of stuff, which, you know, you see these huge numbers and they continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to think, oh, well, yeah, because, you know, people can reset and reinstall their OSs and stuff. It's nice to hear from the man.
Well, but you can actually a little bit there because that doesn't account for upgrades. And so with the amount of obsolescence rates and the amount of new phones coming out and things like that, Android's been around for what now? How many years has it been? It's been 4 years, 5 years. So I know I'm on my third device. So of those activations, three of them are me. But still, it's good. I mean, the same thing's happening on the iPhone too. So I mean, you could nitpick a little. It's good that they're not doing that to combat that. There is still growth, but I don't know if it necessarily means that there are 300 million people out there using it.
Now, if you're watching the video, Chad was just showing a graphic here, and you could see the growth of the Android platform at almost 50% there. If we're looking at December 2011, and it's just showing the growth of the handset or just hardware.
All platforms.
And then iOS at 30%, Microsoft at 5. What is that slither? Is that Palm? I can't even tell what that.
Palm, yeah.
Yeah, 16% for RIM, and I can't even tell the percentage for
Look at the rise and downfall of RIM. Look at that. Between 05 at 26%, then they get up to in the 40s, and down to 16.
Crazy. Also, 450,000 apps. That's up from 160,000 from last year. That was the report. So that's a huge jump in apps. And, you know, Andy says himself, you know what? That Google is going to double down on Android tablets in 2012. So we'll see what happens with that. And related, there have been some rumors that Google may enter the tablet market with a 7-inch tablet, a cheap 7-inch tablet, hopefully around the $199 Kindle Fire price.
Interesting.
He also says here about designing for apps, and maybe you can chime in here too, Tim. He says fundamentally, quote, this is from Andy, you shouldn't have to have a third-party developer build apps twice. And he's talking about how either having tablet-optimized apps and then apps for the phone. And he doesn't believe that an app developer should have to build it twice. And he's always taken that stance, and I don't quite agree because I think the tablet itself, there's so much more landscape. It's a different user experience as well. But he did admit that Google has to be there to educate the process, but developers have to do the work. And again, he's just saying that the onus is put onto Google to evangelize the platform. But he sounded optimistic about the overall momentum of Android and tablets. I mean, out of the 300 million units, only 12 million were the tablets. He says, we're now starting to get on the radar, and I'm hoping people decide to put in the muscle and make their apps work great on tablets. What do you think about all of this, Tim? I'm curious as a developer.
Well, I mean, I'm not a developer. Let me put that out there. A lot of people think I am, but I'm not.
Okay.
Not yet. Hopefully I'll get into that. But anyways, I do know a few app developers in regards to having to build it on both devices. I don't see too big of a problem with that, just mainly because it's such a different experience on a tablet where, I mean, you want games to perform differently and you want different features to be in those devices as the screen space is so much bigger. But I mean, with Android, I mean, you have so many different devices, so many different screen sizes that you have to account for all that. And I think it just goes along with the tablets where you just need to account for that with the Android market being completely different screen sizes, especially not like 0.3-inch difference with the cell phones, just a much bigger size with the screen.
Yeah, not to mention obviously the ice cream sandwich push is all about the unification and hopefully helping developers to the point to where if you develop for ice cream sandwich properly in air quotes, then you're kind of taking care of both sides by using fragments in the appropriate way and that scales to tablet as well as downwards to phones.
I mean, I look at it the same way, and what limited develop. I mean, much like Tim, I'm not actually a developer. I manage mm-hmm. developers. I work very closely with developers. I have for years. I have an idea of programming theory and things like that. And I always look at what's going on with Android with this push to be unified to tablets or phones, to the same kind of approach that's happening on the web with HTML5 and responsive web, where basically now we've got web designers using the responsive web and using HTML5 to design a page that looks good on a widescreen TV in a browser or on a phone, and to have the app on the web flex based off the size of the device. You can take the same theory and apply that to these applications, and I got to imagine there are ways to make to detect what device it's on and grow and contract based on what the display size looks like.
Sure.
So I think the developers can do it. It's just a matter of figuring out how to walk. Personally, I think.
And hopefully Google takes it one step further, and they've kind of shown a little bit of this by kind of holding developers' hands a little bit and saying, this is how you do it properly.
Right.
I hope they continue to do that.
Also, some questions about Motorola after the acquisition, and Andy told reporters that he sponsored the acquisition, but now has nothing to do with it, and he doesn't even know who's running it. And there's a firewall. They're doing their thing. They're going to do their thing, and
I couldn't even tell you who's running it. I don't even know. We're not on the same email.
Do you see there was a little bit of a defensive move? Because in the news, there's been this whole thing. Is Sanjay still the CEO? Who's going to replace? Is it going to be someone internally? All of that stuff. So he's just like, I don't know.
Who's running the ship?
Seriously. They're their own thing.
I mean, he insists that there's going to be what he calls a firewall between Motorola Mobility and Google running Android. It'll be interesting to see how true that proves over time, because a lot can change once that deal is done. It's not even done yet. So it's still speculation point at this point.
Well, I welcome Andy back into our show.
We missed him. It's been a while.
I should have known it was coming. And
he's a handsome man.
I was surprised this morning, and I thought,
you're trying
to
get him on
as
a guest right now.
I'm really curious if he... I mean, because the mouth thing is... priceless. You gotta wonder if he's heard about it.
He has a lot to say.
Well, he's probably just a really busy man. We'll see.
I just love that photo. He's like,
Android, we're here. We're here, and we'll be fine.
You want a jelly bean?
Here, have one. It's warm. It's been in my pocket.
It's getting weird.
We don't even know. That's Ferris terrible.
Bueller's reference.
No more.
We've heard before of Google's heads-up display glasses. We actually almost talked about it on a previous show, but I think we didn't, because at that point we weren't entirely certain that it was Android-based and that it was legit. This is before the New York Times recently started reporting that these augmented reality glasses might actually hit the market by year's end, and that the glasses will in fact be Android-based. Pricing should hit somewhere in the same range as current smartphones, so think somewhere between $250 and $600. It's quite a range right there, possibly with subsidy, I would guess. Along with a visible screen, expect to see 3G, 4G connectivity, GPS, motion sensors, and a low-res camera. And some of the features include things like latitude, location, sharing with friends, Google Goggles, search, and, of course, maps that showcase things nearby.
Gina Trapani was saying, what about we get those at Google I.O.? Wouldn't that be fun?
Maybe that's going to be the device.
The device. Yeah.
Like, all right, now you all have the headset.
I heard about this when a friend of mine IM'd me with the link and goes, is this real or is this a joke? And I actually had to pause and be like, wait a minute, what month is it? Because it sounds like one of those Google April Fool's jokes.
Right. February.
Exactly. And then I thought about it. I'm like, wow, that could be really, really cool and really freaky. I don't know.
A little freaky.
I'm not quite sure how I would use it and why I would use it, but maybe I just need to see it in play.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, it kind of seems like just a novelty almost. In the article, it said that it's not for all the time use, so it's basically like carrying another phone with you where you got your glasses, and what are you going to do with them when you take them off if you're out and about? You got to put them in your pocket, and you'll probably break them if they're in there.
It's true. I always lose my sunglasses.
Yeah,
totally. They crack, but I I buy the $10 sunglasses.
Man, you think your sunglasses
are expensive. What they do with them.
It's got to be a really compelling and well thought out start to finish thing,
How is the interface like? Is it going to use the technology where it looks where you're looking?
Yeah, it seems like it. The YouTube video that we saw earlier of Android Day One at Mobile World Congress, there was
goggles.
Yeah. And I could see something like this on the slopes, you know, so you know where you're going. If you have a map, if you want to just, you know, sort of
get a text message. Seriously. So you don't have to look at your phone.
I'm sure to use voice control. Wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, there are plenty of ways that something like this could be useful. I guess I feel like it's still too early on. Obviously, somebody has to do this and be the first person, the first company to bring something like this out. But it still feels like early days. Like you're still talking about big, I would imagine, big enough to be a deterrent hardware. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you remember the old Nintendo VR?
Yeah, right.
Helmet, you know. Well, no, I mean, what's funny is that it's this shift in when science fiction becomes science fact. And not technically, if it's capable, that's great. But are we as a society, and are we as, you know, just in social interactions, ready to be walking down the street wearing glasses, going maps, left, right, zoom, you know, dial Eileen, you know, like, and then, you know, like, and as someone else walking by, not think you're crazy, and then have you arrested. You know what I mean? Like that's really what it's going to come down to, and that's why it's going to be a slow ramp. In 20 years from now, they're going to laugh at us and be like, "How did we ever live without our glasses?"
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah. So I don't know.
No, the glasses will be embedded in your eyeballs.
Yeah.
Jeez. There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, final little bit of news. The old Amazon App Store, which generally the opinion has been, it's out there. It's available. You know, like maybe it'll do well when the Kindle comes around. But ultimately, we have a lot of discussions as to whether or not it's lucrative for developers or not. Well, some reporting came out recently that says the Amazon App Store is actually providing to be fairly decent moneymaker for developers. Of the 110 apps appearing in both the Amazon App Store and the Google Android market, this report claims that 42 of them are making more money from the App Store. Additionally, 28% of revenue from those top 110 came from the App Store. So those are some pretty big numbers. And it's also proving to be a good spot for paid applications, where 62% of the apps are paid apps compared to just 32% that are paid in the Android marketplace. So it seems like they're leveraging the inherent e-commerce platform of Amazon to become a lucrative platform for developers. That said, though, that's 110 apps.
That's the top 110 thousands of apps.
Right. Yes, exactly. So I'd be curious to see how it's playing out for somebody in the bottom 100,000th percentile. You know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, and it also, the Distimo report also goes on to say that around 50% of Amazon's apps aren't present in the Android market. I thought that was kind of an interesting little factoid as well.
Yeah.
Well, I know the reason for that. I know a app developer, and he made a few paid apps. They weren't big or anything, but he made a few in the Google market, and then Google actually pulled them. And with their policy, they can just pull the apps off the market and not give you a reason, just any reason. So he was kind of out of luck there, was like, okay, now what do I do? Because he can't resubmit it because you can't make a new account.
Yep.
And it doesn't let you resubmit those same apps because they pull them for whatever reason, don't give you a reason. And he's like, well, he had to find somewhere to put them. So he went over to Amazon Marketplace and just stuck them in there. And what they do at the Amazon is they review them and then put them on there, and it's on there for good. They're not going to take them off once they review them.
Right.
Yeah, it's curated ahead of becoming a safe harbor for rejected apps. I mean, it's kind of similar to what GetJar has been also as well,
right.
In terms of, you know, and I've heard that same thing, Tim, about how you, if an app gets rejected from the Android marketplace, you can't resubmit. You just, there's yep. no... It's one and done.
Is there any way to kind of go to Google and put in a counter? I don't know.
Yeah,
there's a
blank email that you can form that you can submit and whatever, and hopefully someone will get back to you. But what are the odds of that?
Interesting. So just real quick, do you happen to know is your developer friend doing well in the Amazon marketplace now?
I haven't talked to him recently about it. I think he's doing okay. He said, I mean, he wasn't doing all that great in the Android market to begin with. Sure. He was just starting off with app development, but it definitely deterred him because obviously the Amazon marketplace isn't nearly as big as Google market. So it really deterred him from even continuing the development because he knows it's not really going to be as big as it would have been if it's in the Google market.
Make as much of a splash, right? Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's take a very quick break and thank our sponsor, Netflix, which streams thousands of TV episodes, movies directly to you. So you can watch them right away if you have a PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, tablet, whatever. Netflix is on all of these platforms, and be surprised if you didn't have at least one or two different ways to stream these shows directly to your device right away. And actually, Netflix, if you haven't tried it out, you definitely should. They have a 30-day free trial going on right now. If you go to netflix.com/twit, use that URL, you can sign up for a free trial and check out any one of their offerings right now. They have a ton of stuff. If you have, just speaking from experience, if you have kids, their kids' selection is off the charts. There's always something new to watch. But they have just a ton of TV shows as well.
Most recently, the Lilyhammer.
New
TV series with Steve Van Zandt, only on Netflix.
Yep. I still need to watch that.
It's only eight episodes.
I've watched like 20 minutes into episode one. It was good. It wasn't bad.
If you like
Sopranos, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
It's not a drama. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a lighthearted sense to it. Yeah, right now, I'm revisiting The Office UK.
Which is a wonderful thing to revisit.
I just started watching it again. There's only... Awesome. 12,
Eileen,
13,
you like that better in the U.S. Office?
You know what? I watched this first. I love the U.S. Office as well. But this one, you know, I go back and I go, oh my God, that's he's going to be the Hobbit. I forgot. And he's Watson on the Sherlock UK version too. This is, you know, I'm going back and watching this and just sort of remembering. Now, this is our Jim and Pam is based off of these two, you know, so it's kind of nice to go back and see.
And make the comparison.
You know, yeah. Who's Dwight in here? Oh, it's that guy. And,
I feel the cringe factor on this is much higher, much more elegant, I think, also, than the American Office. The American Office became its own thing, which it had to, I think.
Yeah.
But the British Office is the one my heart always stays in.
Love it. So I've been watching this all over again. And you can, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You can. Netflix.com/twit. It's a 30-day free trial. If you go to that URL, we thank Netflix for their support of Twit as well as All About Android. And we hope you enjoy watching, hopefully, The Office UK. You can check it out as well as tons of other stuff. Just check it out. Netflix.com/twit. All right. Should we get to our massive Mobile World Congress hardware block? Let's do it.
It's a whole lot of hardware.
I don't even know where you begin on this
stuff.
We have
a lot to get through.
All right. So I think what we're going to do here is we're just going to kind of go manufacturer.
Company by company.
And kind of cover, hopefully not spend a huge amount of time on each, but just really kind of cover the bases on what we saw there. So starting with HTC. HTC announced, basically they announced their One initiative, which can be a little confusing. They have the HTC One X, which is kind of their premium, yes. I'd say. It's a 4.7-inch 720p resolution screen with quad-core 1.5 gigahertz Tegra 3 processor. That is, of course, there is an asterisk to that because in the U.S., it's going to only have a dual-core Qualcomm Snapdragon S4 processor, and that's because of constraints with the LTE working with the Tegra 3 processor. 8-megapixel camera, records 1080p video. So this one's actually a pretty slick device, some of the stuff that I saw. And I'm already getting questions on Twitter from people that are like, so do I, you know, do I get the Galaxy Nexus or do I wait for the HTC?
Well, it's, you know, when is, we don't have a release date yet, right?
No release date on this yet.
Okay,
no.
My contract on AT&T is up in June. And that's probably around the time it's probably going to be out, right? I am seriously thinking about this. Now, I have not used...
You are going to have... some good things to pick from.
I will. Now, I have not used 4G LTE AT&T. I know that the Verizon version is amazing, so that's a difference. And I'm not really too big on the 4.7-inch, but the rest of... I mean, just because it's a little bit bigger than what I like, but the rest of it sounds amazing. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like April. Some people in the chat room are confirming April. We do know that it's on AT&T. It'll definitely launch in Europe and in the U.S. on AT&T.
Right.
So that is the HTC One X. Hard to know if the X is an X or a 10. Then it would be the One 10.
I would get the white one, too.
Oh, yeah. Different colors as well. Then there's the HTC One S. See, this is all part of their One line. This is a 1.5 gigahertz dual-core Snapdragon S4, 4.3-inch screen, 7.9 millimeters thin. It's actually 1 millimeter thinner than the Galaxy Nexus. And the casing option is an ultra matte black ceramic metal, 4 times harder than anodized aluminum.
Ooh. See, now this size point is better for me. I love 4.3. Yeah. 4.3. It's the sweet spot for me, but it's T-Mobile, right? This will come out on T-Mobile? This one is
set to debut on T-Mobile in the, quote, coming months.
It's very Nexus 1-y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tim, nice. What size is, where do you lie on the size of screen? Like, do you have a Galaxy Nexus, or what phone are you using?
Right now, well, I mainly have Sprint phones. I pretty much have all Sprint Android phones. Generally, my daily phones, the Epic 4G Touch Galaxy S2 phone, with it having the 4.5-inch screen. Initially, actually, I made a few videos on my channel about screen size and them getting too big, actually, just with the average user holding it in their hand with it being so large. There's a couple accessories out there. The one I specifically use is a fly grip, and it just connects to the back of the device. And what it allows you to do is basically use the entire screen space. Because with my hand, I wouldn't say it's generally smaller, but it's probably average size. And I couldn't reach the upper corner of the screen.
Yeah.
And it was just difficult to hold with putting this accessory on. It adds a little bulk, but it also it makes it a lot easier. So I'm not nervous into getting into the bigger screen sizes now. Because I realize that with bigger screen sizes, obviously you're going to drop it more, and you can't reach the entire screen, so you're going to have to use two hands sometimes. With that, I don't mind getting into bigger screen sizes, but before I was using I definitely was pretty adamant on sticking with 4.3 and lower. Probably 4.0, 4.3 is probably the sweet spot for I use that accessory.
Now, all these phones have ICS, no?
Yes, am I right? All of them are ice cream sandwich. All take photos in 0.7 seconds, have a 0.2-second autofocus, and offer Beats. They also offer 2 free years of Dropbox with 25 gigs of storage. We haven't even talked about the last one, which is kind of the budget choice, right? It's the HTC One V, and this is their 3.7-inch 480 by 800 screen phone with 1 gigahertz processor, 4 gigs of storage. And it has that chin. The chin is back. I don't know if I'm very fond of the chin anymore, but it's there.
Interesting choice.
For chin fans.
So the X and the S has a nice feature where you're taking video, but you could take a picture while you're shooting video.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that option. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, if I'm taking some video here.
I feel like you can do that with a Galaxy Nexus. I haven't done that. I know I've heard of it. I don't know if it was an app or what, but I haven't done it myself.
Did you guys see the video on the camera of these phones?
What do you mean?
The video shot on the camera, you mean?
Yeah, how he just continuously shooting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the camera is pretty amazing on these.
HTC phones have pretty decent cameras.
They have decent cameras,
I really like HTC cameras.
The few that I've played with, I've actually really liked the cameras. You know, for me, it's always kind of the lag has been the issue, and it sounds like they're kind of taking care of that here as well. So the V is set to launch in the second quarter of this year. No confirmed regions or carriers, but it's a HTC One series. That's kind of what's coming from the HTC camp. They had, you know, if you remember a little bit earlier, they've expressed about an initiative where they're going to kind of scale back their offerings, not offer as many devices, kind of narrow them down and be a little bit more focused in their offerings. Obviously, this is 3 new devices. I guess history will tell, you know, going forward, whether they come out with a glut more of the One series and make it a little bit more confusing or what. But at this point, I think it's pretty easy.
This is really cool here. We're watching the video now. He's using the media player to stream off his phone onto a device. And from what I understand, there's a dongle that you can just sort of, I don't know if it's a USB input or whatever, you just kind of put that into your large screen, and then you are able, with just a 3-finger motion, kind of swipe up, and then
it throws it
to video, and then you can go back on your phone and do other things while you're sending video from your phone onto the screen. I thought that was
kind of cool.
Yeah. It's not DNLA. It's they're calling it something else. But the media line. Oh, there it was. But see, so you swipe up if you're watching the video, and then it goes to the TV. So I thought that was a pretty cool use of media.
I'd be curious to see like a chart or some sort of like design thing to watch the HTC devices from beginning to where we are now, because you know, like I had the G1, which had the lip, and I had the Nexus One, which is kind of like the 1X, I think, right? And so it's interesting to see how their designs are evolving. You know?
The other thing too, the one complaint I had about the one I had many complaints about the Resound, and I heard about someone being angry about my complaints, but the Resound, HTC Resound, you can only use Beats with the stock music app on that phone. Beats will be available for all the apps this time. So you can use it on Audio and Google Music, which is awesome. So and I dug it. I dug the Beats.
I did.
I bought the Beats and I bought into it, but I didn't like that I could only play it on their player. Right. Now that will change.
Cool. All right. So moving on to my new favorite manufacturer, Huawei. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. I really hope so.
You did.
I looked it up to see if I was pronouncing it correctly. But so you're looking for a fast phone. Well, Huawei has got that for you. They announced at Mobile World Congress the Huawei Ascend D Quad, which is claiming to be the world's fastest smartphone with a K3 V2 quad-core 1.5 gigahertz processor. And that's pretty damn fast. It's pretty darn fast. yeah, so they presented it at Mobile World Congress, and it's got a 4.5-inch screen that's got 720p HD, and it's running Ice Cream Sandwich, which is great.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got an 8 megapixel camera with a 1.3 megapixel front camera, and videos that you can take coming in 1080p HD. And on the audio side, they do have Dolby 5.1 surround sound and audience ear smart voice technology to make your calls clearer. So Huawei kind of
5.1 surround sound.
Yeah, interesting. But there does appear to be a drawback to this one, in that it's 8.9 millimeters thick. So it looks as if the thickness is suffering for the speed. But they're promising that it's going to be out in the UK in April with no price that's been announced yet. And because we're looking here at Crave on the UK version of Crave blog, but I'm not quite sure what the date is on the American side of things, but it's got to be coming. But they didn't stop there with speed. Huawei actually took a little page from Apple's presentation style, and they had one more thing as they announced the 10-inch version of their MediaPad. Which is also known as the T-Mobile Springboard.
She looks excited.
I was going to say, and as using the model excitement measuring gauge, I think this Huawei MediaPad 10 is going to be pretty big, considering how excited she is to be holding it.
She's like, this is so powerful, I can't stand it.
Exactly. And what's even better is the bystander behind her just doesn't care. there you go. But so this is really interesting because it's a 10-inch device and a 1920 by 1200 resolution with an IPS display. And it's got the same kind of industrial sign as the original MediaPad. It's got a unibody aluminum build, and it's running the new K3 V2 chip found inside the Ascend D as well. It's going to be on sale in markets in China and Europe in Q2, and there's no word on U.S. availability yet, but that's a pretty nice media tablet to be coming down the pike, so it should be interesting. So that's the stuff from Huawei at the Mobile World Congress. But
here we go.
I'm really excited for this news.
Let's go.
Asus. So the Asus presentation gave us the Transformer Pad Infinity 700 series and Transformer Pad 300 series announcement.
I feel like we need Dramatic Chipmunk with this. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. So they've renamed the Transformer lineup to Transformer Pad now. So no more Pad. Exactly. And they announced the Infinity 700 series, which is claiming to be the first full HD LTE tablet. It's being powered by Snapdragon S4 SoC. And it's got the tablet keyboard combo of previous generations, which is great, which we love. But they've upped the display up to 1920 by 1200 super IPS, which makes the display even that much better. And then it also has an 8 megapixel rear camera that can shoot up to f/2.2, which I guess the focal
macro,
yeah. And a 2 megapixel webcam on the face of the device. And it's only 8.5 millimeter thick, which is interesting that it's thinner than the Huawei phone.
Does it come in different colors too? Look at that.
It looks as if it does. It looks like it might.
Wow.
So then they've also announced the Asus Transformer Pad 300 series, which is the first quad-core LTE device from the company. The 300 series packs the NVIDIA Tegra 3 quad-core with a 1280 by 800 IPS display, 1 gigabyte RAM, 16 giga storage. And
this is the one with the different colors.
Yeah, that's okay. the smaller one, the 300 series. And basically, this one is affordable and stylish, as you can see.
I'll take the red one, please.
So, so a little scaled down. So it's great to see the Transformer. I another friend of mine got a Transformer Prime, and it is so sexy. It is great device.
Tim, do you have any tablets? Have you played around with the Transformer Prime at all? Or
I wish I haven't. I have a Galaxy Tab 10.1 and a Kindle Fire. I've got Ice Cream Sandwich on my Galaxy Tab, and it's real nice. Runs real smooth.
Man. I keep trying to.
I can't justify.
I got to make that happen. I need to. I need to find a PC here because my my Mac running boot camp is just not cutting it for rooting my Galaxy Tab for some reason. So because I want to do that.
But the fun doesn't stop there with Asus.
Here we go.
This is great.
This is where it gets interesting.
Exactly. So if you were looking, let's say you're in the market for a new phone or a new tablet or maybe even a new laptop. Asus has the solution for you. The Asus Pad phone got announced, and it's going to be available in April. And not only is it the 3-in-1 device that allows the phone to snap into the tablet, to snap into the laptop, but it also comes with a very – I'm trying to think of the right adjective here – exciting, powerful, stylus slash headset.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is what you look like. Yes. This is your stylus. And hello. Hello.
Now.
Hello. Oh, hold on one second. Let me write that down. Okay. Yes. Hi.
Now,
I love this.
Now, I know we're making fun of it, but this is pretty clever.
No,
this is really clever.
I did laugh when I saw a picture of the CEO demonstrating, and he was all smiling. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, what is better? This with the small stylus or this? Hello with the big 7-inch device.
That's what we said about the Galaxy Note was that it would be usable as a phone with a Bluetooth headset. And so now, factoring in taking a Bluetooth headset that also doubles as a stylus. Stylus is pretty hokey, but hey, that's pretty cool. I think this is really interesting.
Essentially what it means is essentially what it means is you dock your phone into your tablet. And then if you're using your tablet, you can still use the phone through your stylus.
Exactly.
Because your phone is powering the tablet. The tablet also docks into the keyboard. So when you think about it, it's like phone docking into tablet into keyboard with a stylus that's a phone.
I love the Transformer, but
for the phone.
I like this crazy approach to it. And just some quick specs on it. On the handset itself, it's running a 1.5 gigahertz dual core Snapdragon. It's running Ice Cream Sandwich. The phone is a 4-inch QHD Super AMOLED display, so Super AMOLED strikes back, kind of. On the 4-inch display, the resolution is 960 by 540. And then it's got, 16 gig to 64 gig of storage, 8-megapixel rear camera. I mean, that's a decent phone.
Yeah.
And then I can snap that into a tablet. Then I can snap the tablet into a keyboard and go on the road. It seems like the ultimate road warriors kind of device. And it's as close to a real Transformer as I think Asus is coming.
You got to give them credit because they're doing something very original here.
Yes.
You don't really see a whole lot of other manufacturers doing this kind of thing. Having said that, Tech Ace in the chat room puts it best. He says, wow, this is too busy for the average consumer.
It might be, yeah.
It might be, but I don't know who is the target audience for this.
Yeah.
Is it somebody who's leaned more towards the tech side of things? Is it lean somebody towards the tech-savvy road warrior salesman guy?
You're right.
I wouldn't get this for my mother
Shape
or form. But I know a lot of people like me who could probably make a lot of use of that.
Sure. Yeah. Hey Tim, how much would you like? First of all, do you like the thought of doing this? And secondly, what would you spend for all of these things? Like, what is a good price point for all of this to make it competitive and successful?
It is like you said, it's a lot of stuff, especially for an average user to learn all these new things, how to integrate it seamlessly. So you're not clunking around trying to get the stylus out to answer a call or anything like that. It would take a little practice for sure. I mean, for all this stuff,
It's hard to put a price on
it. I would think pretty expensive. I mean, the keyboard docks alone can get pretty pricey. I know for the Prime, you have to buy them separately. I think that, what's that, $99? But yeah, I don't know. Maybe like a couple $100 a piece, and especially with it all combining together, I'm sure you can get it into a bundle price, maybe all of it. Maybe you can get a good deal on, if you buy all of them together, some kind of thing, maybe $500 for all of them. Yeah. Maybe even more than that, probably $600-$700 for everything.
Yeah, my gut is you're not going to see the bundle of all this stuff together for anything less than $800 or $900. That's my guess.
Yeah, I was going to say
I'm guessing somewhere around $1,000.
Yeah, especially considering if the Transformer Prime is selling for six to eight.
Yeah, plus another $150, so six.
We're looking at probably $800-$900. But what's interesting about this, though, and just one other fact, is that when you snap the handset into the tablet, battery life increases by 5 times.
Oh, yeah.
Snap that into the keyboard, battery life increases 9 times.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I was impressed
They all have their own battery, charging, and they're all charging. Yeah.
So you could really, cool. I mean, I fly to New York, between New York and San Francisco a lot. I would never have to worry about plugging this in when I'm always worrying about, and then I could use the
stylus.
There you go. Oh, sorry, I have a call. Hang on. Okay.
So, that would be fantastic. Cool.
Yeah, so that's the Asus, their lineup at Mobile World Congress, which blew me away.
So
far, they're winning, if you ask me.
Yeah, you think?
They're doing cool stuff.
Well, on the other hand, then there's Samsung. I am a big Samsung fan, as you guys know. Still love my Samsung Galaxy S2. And I think things are getting a little muddy. I'm already setting this up for failure. But let us start with the Samsung Galaxy Beam. Now, the Beam, already out of the gate, comes with Gingerbread. Not ICS.
Ooh, dang.
4-inch WVGA display and a 1 GHz dual core processor. Now, the thing about the Beam is that it is like a Pico projector. It's got 15 lumens of brightness, TIDLP and HD 640 by 360 projector. Now, it also has a 5-megapixel camera with 720p recording. There is 8 gigabytes of storage upgradable because there's a micro SD card slot up to 32 gigs with 768 megabytes of RAM. It projects an HD image of about up to 50 inches wide. Ron is freaking out. So someone like Ron, who might have a presentation, he's got his phone, and then he's like, oh, let me show you the video of my presentation, and then we could show it here. You know, before the show.
This is really good for
your photos or your videos.
Instant drive-in movie.
Games.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a little video underneath of Chad. Yeah, we could see a little bit of hands-on there.
Throw an emulator
on
there.
I wonder how good the quality is.
What's that?
I wonder how good the quality of the image is.
You know, from what I hear, the quality is decent. As you can, there's a little bit of video there. In the dark, it's obviously really good. In lighter situations, and you'll see here, Nilay Patel is showing it off. And you can see your phone display.
That's so cool.
And look, now he's showing it in a lit room, and that's not so hot right there, as you can see. So it's okay.
Really to be.
Yeah. But if you're showing something really quick, or you want to check out this YouTube video, Jason, let me show you, that might be okay.
I will only watch it if you'll project it on the wall.
I know. That's what I thought.
I will not watch it on your phone.
That's what I thought, so that's why I have the Beam. Okay, moving on. Now, they do have their Galaxy Players. There have been several announced already, but the S4.2 is at Mobile World Congress right now, and it's just another screen size to the Galaxy lineup for a player. There's already a 3.6, a 4.0, and a 5.0.
Samsung's just throwing every combination of everything at the wall right now.
It's not super impressive, but it's got a 4.2-inch IPS display. There's a 16-gig or 32-gig model. You know, some people, maybe some kids, or if you want to buy something, you know, like an iPod Touch, this is the Android equivalent here.
Right.
And there's many sizes. So that is the Wi-Fi 4.2. But now let's
move on. Now we start getting into the confusing, muddy.
Let's move on to the tablets. And I actually had a big discussion with Nicole Lee, our products producer here. I was like, okay, what is going on here with the Galaxy Tab 2 10.1 versus the Galaxy Note 10.1 that has also been announced. And from what I understand, they are almost exactly the same device. There are some things different. The Galaxy Note 10.1 has a slightly faster processor. I know. Check this out. If you're watching the video, it looks like exactly the same device. The Note obviously has a stylus, but it doesn't have a place for you to put it. You can't slot it in like the like the Galaxy Note 5.3. That's weird. Both are running Ice Cream Sandwich. That's good. The Note itself, the 5.3 version can use as a phone. The 10.1 version, no, you cannot use it as a phone. Although it comes preloaded with Adobe Photoshop Touch and Adobe Ideas. And the Note actually has a bigger version, a 64 gig version, whereas I believe the 10.1 tab only has up to 32 gigs. There is some cool things with the Note that you can't do with the tab. There's split screen, so you can surf or watch a movie and then take some notes on a split screen. That's kind of cool. It is the Note is 10.1 is thinner, and I think I kind of covered it all.
They are completely confusing themselves out of any customers.
And we will get to that point.
I don't know if they're confusing themselves out of customers. Samsung's doing all right.
They're selling pretty well.
They're selling pretty well. And they seem to just really be in a point right now where they are just they are okay with throwing a ridiculous amount of things up against the wall and seeing which ones emerge as the ones that they continue to hold on to.
I didn't even mention the updated Tab 7.0. That is out there as well. Now, there is a product manager from Samsung who was interviewed at Mobile World Congress and has, the headlines are big about this, Samsung, we're not doing very well in the tablet market. After everything that I've said and all of the different form factors, remember, I'm still hot after the 7.7 tab. Yep. There's an 8.9. It's all over the place. So many different versions. And of note in this interview, he does say, the best thing to survive in the market is to kill your products. We want to stay competitive. We want to stay competitive in the market. Well, considering there's the Tab 2 and the Note, I mean, I'm guessing the Tab 2 is going to be a smaller price point compared to the Note 10.1. But I mean, honestly, there maybe needs to be a little bit more focus. And I wonder if he's going to get in trouble for saying this.
Well, I mean, to a certain degree, he's being transparent.
That's
being
good.
Honest.
Yes.
And like, I understand having different flavors of your technology to reach different, you know, customer segments. You know, like Apple even does it as well with the iPad 3G versus iPad Wi-Fi, all those sort of stuff. But there's got to be a better way to make this, you know, to communicate it to the customers and to make it a little clearer that, okay, this is the Galaxy Tab with that's a phone and that's not a phone. And that like and what's the difference between the Tab and the Note?
And the Note,
It's almost like this when you get a big corporate hierarchy and you get different product teams working and one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. This is what it really sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, I had to really sit down and sort of I had two press releases and then an Engadget article and a Verge. I was studying because I'm like, wait, what is the difference and why would I want one versus another? Tim, what do you think about this whole mess? Do you think it's a mess at all or do you think, great, we have choice?
No, it's a complete mess. I was wondering the same thing. I saw them both and I'm just like, I can't even really tell the difference. You really had to look in depth to see, okay, what's the difference? And with the Note having the stylus and you can't even put it anywhere, I don't really see that. I see that being a pretty big factor.
Well,
not
I think
being able to hold it anywhere.
I think what they're wanting to do is sell you an accessory, you know, like a cover, and then you could put your stylus there. But
exactly, I did like that feature on the Note where you can do split screens. That's something I mentioned when I reviewed the Galaxy Tab on my channel and at AC Syndicate was how it would be nice if you could go in between two screens so you can go back and forth between one or the other, whether it be browsing an email or one or the other, get more PC OS integration going. And that's kind of where I want to see Android on tablets going, is getting it more to be, I wouldn't say more like Windows, but more with those kind of features where you can get more multitasking done.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then finally, what was not really announced at Mobile World Congress, but is a rampant rumor, is the Samsung Galaxy S3. Boy Genius Report is reporting a 1.5 gigahertz quad-core 1080p display with a ceramic case, and we may see it, they're saying, I've been reading reports, like maybe around the Olympics in summertime, because Samsung is a huge sponsor. Wouldn't it be nice if they launched something awesome like this? It's a 4.8-inch screen and has LTE and ice cream sandwich as well. So that's just a rumor, but there's another option for me.
For you.
I know.
I couldn't see you not going for that because you loved your S2. You love your S2.
But it's 4.8.
It's getting bigger and bigger.
It's getting big. I mean, I already kind of balked at the 4.7 on the 1X, but now it's 4.8.
I think Samsung and these cell phone manufacturers have some sort of research or some sort of thing that, like, in 20 years humans are going to have enormous hands.
Oh, maybe
and
that's
just
it.
Like they're just going with the evolution, you know, kind of like how in The Simpsons how they had four fingers.
Yeah,
and now we've got five fingers.
Well, and you see old Victorian houses, the doors are smaller
or shorter.
Are
shorter. Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So and I think now we're taller.
Our hand, we're going to have big like catcher mitt hands, and our phones are going to fit right in. So you know, we'll look back on this and laugh. So.
Okay. That's it for Samsung.
All right. We're not going to spend a whole lot longer on these because, we spent a lot of time on devices. But you can't avoid it. Mobile World was just so thick this year. LG, real quick. They confirmed some of the stuff that we were actually talking about, rumors from last week, specifically the Optimus View.
Let's gauge it on the model
Galaxy
scale.
Note with the 4.3.
Oh, well, we're showing the Optimus 4X.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Okay. The 4x3. No, that's fine. The Optimus View, it's kind of their Galaxy Note, which is a little bit wider than a Galaxy Note. And I guess it remains to be seen how well that does, that form factor, even more than the Note.
So
just
strange.
Seems harder.
It's such a strange form factor. Yeah.
But they also unveiled the Optimus 4X HD. With a 4.7-inch IPS display, of course, ice cream sandwich, Tegra 3 quad-core processor with a 1.5 gigahertz going on there, and no release date or region set yet for that. 2150 milliamp hour battery, so that's not a bad sized battery for that as well. The one interesting thing I think from takeaway with LG is that they are actually trying to get into the Nexus game. I have to imagine what manufacturer isn't.
Right.
But when asked about LG's plans to get into Nexus, Ramshan Wu, head of LG's smartphone division, told CNET, "We're having discussions and we're working on it." So be interesting to see if they're able to get that to pan out. And that's LG.
That'd be pretty big for LG.
Oh, that would be huge for LG. I feel like they're kind of trying to be seen on the same kind of level as Samsung and Motorola, and I don't know if they're super successful at that yet. They really need to have some wins.
Well, maybe some of these phones will be winners for them finally. Yeah. I don't know. Time hasn't been on their side, but you know, we'll see.
So a couple more at the, I don't want to say the bottom of the barrel because I don't want to negatively put them in a negative light, but so Sony was also at Mobile World Congress, and Sony announced the Xperia P, which is a interestingly, a nicely designed device. It doesn't look like the normal kind of Android phone. It's got an aluminum unibody, and it's dual core. It's running a dual core processor and running Android 2.3 Gingerbread. And it's got a 4-inch White Magic display and an 8-megapixel camera, and NFC support and HDMI connection. And there's also the Sony Xperia U, which is a dual core device with Android 2.3, a smaller device that a 3.5-inch reality display. And according to Sony, over 6 hours of talk time battery life. So it's not clear that they're trying to fill in the gaps where people aren't, diving into the big, huge Android smartphones. They're trying to provide a smaller, kind of more stylish kind of option. And then on the smaller side of things, Acer, who I just said Acer, really? Acer is going to, they announced their entry-level Liquid Glow smartphone. And it's a 3.7-inch display, so a smaller phone again, a 5-megapixel camera, and it's available in pink, white, or black, and it has NFC in it. So it's going to be available this summer, and this is the kind of phone that I could see, like, my sister buying or, sort of thing.
It's interesting that all these, not with Samsung and you got Motorola, all those high-end companies, you got the lower companies all diving into the mid-level Android markets.
Yeah.
How they're sticking with the smaller screens, the not quad-core phone with Sony and here Acer. It's pretty interesting that they're picking up the slack with the lower-end phones.
It's that old sports strategy, go where they ain't.
Yeah, well, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And also along those lines, like suddenly dual-core is seeming like suddenly, like when you read through all this stuff, it's like, oh, it's only dual core.
I know.
Like, it was not very long ago.
Okay.
The dual core was like ridiculously awesome.
That's a very good point.
It's like, oh, you're not running quad core.
Yeah.
I don't mean to derail our conversation, but So I was listening to the Sony press conference, and they kept saying keywords like magical. And
I saw you tweet about that.
Okay. Yeah. So I just created a little bingo board. I just chatted you, Chad. If you just look, it's just on my blog on EileenTV.squarespace.com. So I came up with, you know, words based, and I crowdsourced. So revolutionary quad core is one of the words, you know, drink if they say quad core, or, you know, there's your bingo board.
NFC
is a big one. Game upgradable to ice cream sandwich. I was saying shipping, but no. In reality, it doesn't necessarily
this
say shipping.
This is a great bingo board, by the way.
Integrated. And, you know, I put the Q1, 2, 3, and 4 because, you know, good. When
game
they get
changer.
And I'd love more suggestions, but I was having a field day with this as I was listening to the Sony presser on Sunday. It was
funny.
Really, really vision, that's innovative, very fastest display, amazing, unified, magical. I don't know. Anyway, that's my new drinking game for everybody.
You're going to get nice and drunk.
I am going to get nice and drunk. Next time I go to one of these pressers, have a little flask with me. As soon as they say, they said magical.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I missed LTE. Well, I put 4G on there. So, anyway.
Yeah. Same, but different. Okay, let's. So, we narrowed it down to one email this week because we were actually getting a lot of emails from fans of the show that are also developers. Because next week's episode, we are going to be reviewing in the arena your app. So, if you still haven't sent us any, send it to aaa@twit.tv with a little note saying, "This is my app." You know, you can give us some background or we can just hit the market link and check it out ourselves. But anyway, so we got a lot of that feedback in the email box. But I picked out one that I thought was kind of interesting based on something that I read yesterday. I'll start with what I read yesterday. It was an article on pixel.com about, and it's called Android Measuring Stick. And basically what it was taking a look at stats around kind of, you know, okay, the term's going to come up a few times, the fragmentation issue, and essentially taking a look at Android version distribution over time. And if you're a fan of like graphs and charts and stuff,
infographics,
this thing is really good. It's a very interesting, kind of detailed way of taking a look at how each iteration of Android, you know, how quickly it launches, how many people are on it, you know, from the get-go versus over time, when that refreshes and goes to zero again, when yet another iteration is out, how kind of distributed that gets at that point. And it kind of tied into an email that we got from a guy named Chuck, which I edited down. It was a long email, but I thought this was kind of interesting, an interesting way to talk about the quote-unquote fragmentation. He says, "Choice is good. It always has been and always will be. Just look at the auto industry. We have choice. Many models, many shapes and sizes, many appearances. In Apple's world, it's, quote, fragmented. To the rest of the world, it's choice. Yes, choice in the Android world makes it more difficult for developers. Well, so what? Same thing with cars. Do you hear the windshield wiper companies complain? Do you hear the tire manufacturers complain? Do you hear the aftermarket in-dash car stereo companies complain? No. The word fragmentation is never uttered with regard to the automobile industry. The windshield wiper companies just make many different sizes and shapes. Tire companies make many different models. Car stereo companies make different models as well. Do you ever pick up a Crutchfield catalog and see the word fragmented in it? I hope you never use the word fragmentation again. The word is choice, and I, as a consumer, hope that choice is never taken away from me. Regards."
That's a very good point.
I thought it was a good kind of analog to the discussion. It's going to be really hard to not say the word fragmentation because it's part of the vocabulary.
The challenge, I think, there is that it depends. I think he does have a point that there is choice, but it also is the market and what
they're giving you to choose from, because I don't have the choice that I really want. What I want doesn't exist.
And also,
I mean, seriously, if I'm to break down the phone that I want right now, it doesn't exist right now.
Right, and I'm not disagreeing with Chuck at all. I'm playing a little devil's advocate here, but I buy a car. And then I find the car stereo, aftermarket car stereo I want. I don't get locked into that car stereo for 2 years because of the service agreement I have with that car stereo company. True. There are a lot of different factors that are going around that play into that. Mm-hmm. So the decision going into the use of your choice has got a lot more baggage with it.
Absolutely.
Than buying windshield wipers. I mean, you know, or buying a bottle of wine, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, where there's lots of choice.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I'm not forced to buy a 4.7 screen, even though, you know, I am. If I want the Nexus, right. I have to get that. But no, I'm not going to do that. That because I don't have to. I have 4.3, but I don't get the updates for ICS right now on this phone. Yeah. So my choice is kind of hampered.
You can't upgrade those the tires on your car to the tire that you want.
Exactly.
And it's not available yet. Right. Well, I can upgrade if I want a route, but maybe I don't want to go. But, you know, so I know there's going to be answers like, well, you can, Eileen. I'm like, well, yes, you're right. I can. But what if I don't want to? What if I just want the updates because... Maybe I'm lazy. Maybe I am.
So I actually went to Google Plus over the weekend with this and kind of posted it up. Jerry Hildenbrand, who's one of the editors at Android Central and definitely a voice in the Android world that I certainly trust. I respect his opinion a lot. Wrote back with a post that I thought was very interesting. And it's kind of, it's the top one if you see Jerry's name there, Chad. Sense equals blur equals TouchWiz equals Optimus UI equals Android. If that's true, then Ubuntu equals Debian equals Slackware equals RHEL equals Linux, and iOS equals Dynex equals SunOS equals Next equals macOS equals BSD. If one is true, then all others must be. Now go ahead and do a study on fragmentation. Just basically pointing out that the average person, you know, that reads about fragmentation in Android doesn't necessarily understand entirely, you know, doesn't have as much knowledge on the subject of what open source kind of is. That's just the reality of it, is that Android is an open source platform, and all of these different manufacturers are putting out their own version of Android, much in the same way, you know, he makes the analog to iOS and, you know, BSD being, you know, iOS being a lockdown version of BSD. And, you know, it's, I guess, I don't know why it's different. I guess when I read that, I was like, oh man, that is awesome. But why does Android suffer so much public punishment for this stuff?
Because there's so much choice.
Because there's so much choice.
I mean, I said choice and not fragmentation. But there's so much. There are multiple manufacturers out there. There are, you know, with it's not like you can get an iPhone running a unlockdown version of BSD. You can't. You know, but you can get 90 different Android handsets running different flavors of Android, and then you can root them, and then you can do all the sorts of things. It's more the it's the emperor's got no clothes. Like, it's more like we're more aware of it. Yeah. Right. So, but that it's an interesting angle to take with that.
Yeah, Tim, where do you kind of stand on this issue? Obviously, we've thrown out a lot here. I'm curious to know what you think about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with there being so many different devices, all that choice that you do have. I think a lot with the fragmentation media, I think a lot was pushed. I know there's always a competition between Apple and Android users. It's tough because you've got people all owning iPhones, a good majority of them. I'm not going to knock that. There's a lot of them all being able to do the same thing on all their devices. And then you've got some people saying, oh, I could do this on my phone. Oh, well, I have the same OS on maybe not the same version, but I can't do that. So it kind of might even spark some competition between people owning Android devices, which could potentially say, oh, let's argue about that even more, which could lead into saying, oh, well, there shouldn't be fragmentation, so we're not fighting over this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to wrap this up, because I know we could probably talk about this a lot, but Peter Daly of Shot Control, an app that I featured on the arena for
last
2012.
Week, or 2 weeks.
Yeah, this
two
is a few weeks,
weeks
ago.
Okay.
It was a camera app, and I would have won if I had followed the rules.
I was thinking about the basketball app. Yeah.
Anyways, he actually wrote in because he saw that Google Plus post, and he said, for better or worse, 75% of Shot Control users, that's 405 active installs, seem to be a result of your app arena coverage. So it's actually a pretty good analysis of the devices and OS levels of your audience. Your audience that is interested in photo apps may not be the same as overall audience. I don't know. But here are some key stats. Almost half are on Gingerbread. 25% are on Ice Cream Sandwich. 25% is more than the 1% that you keep seeing thrown around. 17% of that 25% have a Galaxy Nexus, leaving an interesting gap when compared to overall Ice Cream Sandwich. Part of that could be Nexus S. Part of that, a large part of that, could just be people rooting and roaming their phones.
That's what I think,
9% have a Galaxy S2, and other phones make up the remaining 4%. So
I would argue that that's a bit of a skewed audience.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, really? 25% on ICS?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a fan base that is very active in taking control of their Android devices. And it, I mean, if you're listening to the show, then you care more than the average Android user does.
Exactly.
So,
but it's interesting nonetheless. I love those kind of numbers. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we spent a lot of time on choice, as you put it,
and hardware, Chuck. And so much that my brain is full right now.
Well, it's an interesting episode to tie this to, especially considering all the Mobile World Congress stuff that my ears are bleeding from at this point. But we haven't even got to the part that I think we're all, you know, always looking forward to, and that is the arena. So let's step into the Android arena.
Two enter, one lives. The Android arena.
I'm just breathing a sigh of relief we got through the hardware section.
No. This has been a chunky episode so far. All right.
Chunky. There's chunky. Your title.
There we go.
There's your episode title.
We're chunky. We're chunky.
Every episode will be named after descriptors of food. Okay. So let's take a look at last week's
Hello.
Poll. And what do you know? So you won, Eileen, obviously. You won with 45% of the votes.
Look at this. Look at this difference between second
and third
place.
I'd like to thank Marlon.
That was tied up until we started this episode and had been all day.
Marlon of Trinidad, I believe, gave me the tip on the new Sims Free Play. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I can no longer play it on my tablet right now because my tablet, my 10.1, has died.
Do you think that's related?
Do you think it killed your tablet?
No, seriously.
Sims
do you think
killed.
I
don't know, but you know, I've had multiple problems with that tablet, so it could have been anything. I mean,
everyone who voted for Sims Free Play, be careful because it kills tablets. I just think that's.
You should retroactively change your vote.
I really think we might need to do a recount.
Yeah,
I am upset. I haven't been able to play because I had a nice town going. But anyways,
all right. So this week,
this week it's a grab bag. That means that I'm the one that lost this time around, utterly. Although by just a vote.
Now I will preface your arena pick by saying that not only was this an app that I had flagged to use in the arena at some point, so kudos for you.
Yes, you did.
For sneaking me to that. But the app I was going to use in this arena, after I saw yours, I quickly rolled back and changed because I thought it was too similar in terms of category.
Interesting.
So,
just to give a little inside baseball on top of
that would have been good though. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'll start it off here. I'm doing an app called AnyDo. That's spelled ANY.DO, and it's a to-do task list. We've talked about tasks in the past, and you know, I've had a few that I've liked. This one is just rock solid. Like, just from a design perspective, you want to use it.
Yep.
So go ahead. I have it up sending out to you, Chad, and you can kind of take a look at kind of the simplistic kind of approach that they've taken here. And it actually looks very ice cream sandwich-ish. I pulled it up on my tablet, and it looks good there, although I think they could maybe kind of work on a little bit of fragmenting a little bit more.
Don't use that word.
No, well, they call it fragments.
Do they really?
Yeah, they call it fragments in the development stuff. So, so that it maybe fits the tablet screen a little bit better. But on the phone, it's awesome to use. So it's a tasks app. It syncs currently with Google Tasks. You don't have to sync it up if you don't want to. You can back everything up to the SD card here. Let's see here. You got backup in your more. There is, so, you know, I could choose any of my Google accounts. I like the theming. It's pretty dead simple. Like, you can just turn on the white theme or the dark theme, depending on what approach you want to go. And I like a little bit of the nighttime approach here.
Between the sheets.
I like my tasks at night.
On your night tasks.
So you've got all your folders from Google Tasks right here, and I can kind of fold them up. Let's see here. I'll just go ahead and create a task so I can kind of show you how you can do it. You can do it a couple of different ways. You can enter an item. So I'm going to go ahead and review AnyDo, because this will be one that I can check off and I'll feel like I accomplished something. So there is review AnyDo. I could also hit this mic up here and review any.do. I don't know if that's going to work.
Nice.
Oh, it did work.
Look at that.
Okay. So I could do the voice entry, and then I could do a number of things. One of the cool features is that you can share it with your contacts. So you could actually have somebody else that has AnyDo installed share a task with them and set a reminder, and then something that's shared between the two of you, a reminder could go off, and you know, you're reminded of your task. It's just a really cool kind of interface on doing this stuff as well. Set it to tomorrow, set it to next week, however you want to do it, and set kind of the recurrence of your alarm if you want it to happen on a recurring time or just one time at all. But everything's just really sleek and looks really nice. You can also add notes to your to-do item, which think of this as like sub-tasks within your main task if you want to. You can, let's see here. So let's say I'm done with my review. I'm not. But if I swipe through that, it crosses it out, moves it down to the bottom of the list. And then if you have your shake on, I'll shake it. And it says clear. Clean up your finished tasks? Yes. And it removes it from your list. It's actually really cool UI and just kind of satisfying. Although if you are walking around entering to-dos, tasks, sometimes it can detect those as shakes and try and clear it. But you can also actually beam a task to another person if that's how you want to share these across. Ultimately, it's just a really slick, well-designed app that I've just really enjoyed using. I'll also show you on the desktop here. Let's see here. Yeah, they have a number of different widgets. This is one style of widget, and you can actually access and access your different lists here if you want up at the top. And I just went through to it, but that's how you pull it up. You can also add a task straight from here or use the microphone to enter it in via voice. It's just very solid and syncs up to your Google Tasks, and that's kind of what I'm looking for in a task app. I use Google Tasks all the time, so it's nice to have that direct integration, and I've been using this all week. I love it. I'm getting things done. That's what it's all about. So
it is.
Check it out, any.do, and you can find it in the Android market. It is free. That's my app.
Cool. Yeah.
Sorry to steal that from you, Ron.
No, you didn't. Well, no. I mean, it's all fair. All's fair in the arena. I didn't do it yet. So
that's what
cool.
they say.
Yeah.
I always worry. I was like, oh, I wonder if anybody's going to do this app. I really want
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No. Well, now my worry now, as we're on what? We're in episode 49, by the way. Yeah.
Next week is 50.
My worry now is that I'm going to pull up an app that we did like episode 12.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just not going to
remember. Remember.
That'd be instant disqualification. Just saying.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't remember the app I did 2 weeks ago, much less the one I did in episode 12.
Cocktail?
So Tech Ace will tell me.
Cocktail?
Oh, Cocktail. Was that 2 episodes ago? That was 3 episodes ago.
Anyway, I remember.
Nonetheless, so the app I did choose this week, though, after I saw that Jason was doing AnyDo, was an app that I've had installed on my phone for a while, and it took a while for me to play with. But once I played with it, I was like, wow, this one's going to do great in the arena. And it is called Handy Scanner Free, and basically it's a PDF creator that you can use on your phone. There is a paid version. I'll get into the difference between the free and the paid version. The paid version is $3.99, but the free version is basically allows you to use your camera to take a picture of a document, turn it, crop it, adjust it, some great controls, and then you can save it as a PDF and export it to your email, to Dropbox, to whatever kind of service that you might be using. Now, you might wonder, how is this useful? Well, if you're like me and you have a job and you have expense reports and things like that, and receipts tend to add up, and I have a flatbed scanner, but it's hooked up to my PC and I don't want to boot up Photoshop and I have to scan the receipts, stuff like that, you can just take pictures of your receipts, save them as PDFs, send them, email them to yourself, email them to your finance person or whatever. It's a great way to share information. So I've got a demo here. I'm going to show you guys how it works, and you can see what I'm talking about. So right here, I'll turn the angle. I've got a little spec sheet here from this Lenovo tablet that Eileen's been playing with. And I'm going to turn on Handy Scanner. And let's say we're in some sort of scenario where I've got this spec sheet and I want to share it with Eileen, but she's not actually physically here. Now, all you do is in the upper right-hand corner, you can see that you can either take a picture with your camera or pull a picture from your gallery. So in this particular case, I'm going to take a picture with my camera. And it gives you a little camera display, and you can go either landscape or portrait. I'm gonna go portrait. Real simple. You just kind of get the piece of paper in view. You can turn the flash on or off. You just take the picture. And I totally missed, and so I'm gonna do it again. All right. And then it shows you the picture, and you say, "Yep, I'm done." And then what it does is it shows you the picture that you took. And so very easy UI to utilize. You just go next in the step. And what it will do is it's going to use the technology as good as it can to correct a perspective. So in this particular case, I got a lot of extra area on the desktop. It's going to do its best to zoom in and give you what it sees as the actual content. But now this is where the controls get in really cool. You can rotate it very easily. But then there's also this neat little wizard where you can enhance the color. You can drop it into grayscale. Pull it back up. Grayscale. You can enhance the contrast. You can make it print ready or print ready economy, which is basically like a smaller size file. If you're familiar with PDFs, sometimes they can get pretty big. So I'm going to knock it down to grayscale so it's a little easier to read. I'm going to change the contrast, brought back color. I'm going to knock it back down to grayscale. Make it print ready. You know, so it's adjusting it as you're making these little tweaks so it's the best possible PDF that you can provide. You go next in the step. And basically what it does is you can crop, you can bring it down. You see these little corners?
Oh, yeah.
And get the desk part out of it, right? I'm going to go next. And so now it's, you know, it's ever getting closer and closer. And so when I'm ready to go, you can save it. And just say, you know, test stock. And basically what it's going to do is it's going to generate this PDF and create it for me and save it on the phone. And now what it does is it shows me I took two pictures, so it saved both of those pictures. And it now exists within my documents. So if I go here, you can see one that I did earlier. I did this receipt right here, and I can take a look at it. And this is a dining receipt. And what I can do is I can edit it. I can delete it. I can save it out as a JPEG or save it out as a PDF. So depending on what your preferences might be. So I'm going to say PDF. All right. And now I can share it. So in this particular case, I can create a note in Evernote for it. I can export it just to my storage device. I can load up Gmail or my K9 mail, send it via Yahoo. I don't have Dropbox installed currently on this phone, but if I had Dropbox, you could just export to Dropbox. And that's pretty much it. So it makes it real easy to save your documents. You can star them so you can get to them very quickly, so you can go over here. It's utilizing the ice cream sandwich kind of tool set in terms of menus and things like that, so you can see you can organize your documents pretty nicely. Now, you'll notice down here that there is an ad because it's the free version. The paid version eliminates the ads, as well as there are some limitations on the free version as to the number of documents you can scan per month. Like you can scan 20. So there's some limitation on the free version. Really, the free version is meant to give you kind of a sample to it, and then they want you to go pay for it. And the paid version is $3.99, which is affordable. But if you're on the road a lot, using a lot of documents, like I said, expense reports is a great tool for it. Being able to take a print document and make it into a digital document on the go is actually really, really powerful when you think about it. So that is my app, and that is Handy Scanner. Handy Scanner free.
Very cool.
In the Android Marketplace. Nice.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. Let's see here. Who do we have next? Oh, well, that would be you, Tom. Tim. So go ahead and talk about Cerberus.
All right. Yeah. With Cerberus, it was actually pretty cool. I didn't realize the amazing features it had until I actually installed it and tried it out. I heard about it. It's basically a security application, an anti-theft app, where it's going to allow you to remotely control and access your device, whether you lose it or someone steals it. And it gives you a lot of different options that you can do, whether you want to either go on your PC onto a website. I believe it's Cerberus app.com. You can control your device from that site, or you can actually text your phone from another phone, text that number, and you type in a certain code, and then it accesses the Cerberus app through the text message. They email you all the information with that. But within the app itself, it, as you can see, it actually gives you options for what you want to be able to do. You'll sign in. You have to sign in every time you go to the application, but you can have it. You can choose whether you want to be able to wipe. You can wipe your phone, wipe it completely, wipe your SD card, and for any reason if you need to do that. You can also set it where it's going to take a picture for if someone unlocks your, if you have a lock code on your device, if someone messes it up three times in a row, two times in a row, one time in a row, you can actually have the front-facing camera take a picture the person that's trying to basically break into your phone. If they fail, as you can see, failed attempts right there. It gives you the amount that you can have fail, and then it it'll take a picture if they mess
that's
up.
That's cool.
Couple times, however you want it to mess up. And it'll generally just take a picture. And you also, what you can do is, as I said, you can send text messages, or you can go on the PC and control it. And you can do a bunch of different things. You can locate the device that uses Google Maps. It pinpoints the location. It'll actually turn on GPS and basically just give back what the location is of your device. Gives you other options. You can lock the phone. You can unlock the phone. You can actually start an alarm, which is pretty cool because it just not even an anti-theft kind of thing. It's if you just lose your phone and it's on silent, it'll actually make a noise so you can go find your phone if you lose it in your house for any reason. You can also have it display a message. So if someone's got your phone, you can have it pop up a message. You can type whatever kind of message you want. You can display a message, say, hey, why do you have my phone? Who is this kind of thing? Or you can also have it just, you can remotely take a screenshot of the screen. You can have it take pictures, whether you want it to take a picture with the back camera or front camera. You can also record audio, so it'll control the audio of your device. So it'll basically tape, record whoever's got your device. So, I mean, you could be a little sneaky with this application. As you can see right there, you got a little demonstration of someone putting a message on the phone. But, I mean, the possibilities are really endless with this app because you can do so many things with it. I mean, it's free. It gives you a 7-day trial, I believe, and then you have to pay for a license. I think it's 3 euros, but what's that convert to $4? But right now, you can actually get it for free. I'm sure they can get you a link to where you can get that. You just basically type in your username, give them an email, and they will give you the license code for free up until March 1st, I believe. So you can get that for free. But generally, I mean, this app it can be used in so many different ways. And it's really secure, too, because obviously you can lock it. You have to type in a password every time you go into the app, so you can't mess with the settings or anything. It's really just a really great universal app where you can use it whether you want to lock your phone, lock people out of it, or just kind of determine who's stealing it, whether it be a friend of yours. I hope not. But if someone you recognize has the phone, you can get a screenshot of them. One of your friends is trying to get into your phone for any reason. It'll take a screenshot of them if they mess up the passcode. But just overall, really a great application. I hope everyone of you guys definitely tries it out and hope you guys like it.
It's powerful.
Just definitely. Taking pictures of the thief alone.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Because I lost my phone. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but I lost my phone last year, and I would have loved to have been like, picture.
I know, right? Well, and you can determine whether it takes it from the front-facing camera or the rear camera.
So you can see where they are.
I mean,
the options
so you can go one back
from the
rather.
Website. The website's pretty thorough on all the different
that's
things
really
you can
cool.
do. So. That's cool.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, it sends all that information to your email. So it'll take a picture and shoot it to your email. So it's not going to text it to you, obviously.
I see.
It'll send an image to your email.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to check that.
Oh, you can video record as well. I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow, that's cool.
It can video the person who stole your phone?
Yep.
You got the shocker face here. I'm like, wow. I'm just going to vote for your
that's
app.
Cool.
Wow.
So that is Cerberus, Cerberus. Anti-theft, and check that out in the Android market. And
that's very
cool. Like you said, Tim, free paid license for all if you hurry. It's a limited time. All right, Eileen.
Well, I admittedly have not played a lot of new apps recently because I am addicted to only one. And it may seem like a very silly game to you, but if you happen to catch me at Master Control sometimes and you watch in the drop cam, you might wonder, why am I looking at my phone? It's because I've been playing this game since my Hawaiian vacation.
Do you want to admit that?
I am just going to, someone plays games too in the middle of a show. Okay. The free app in the marketplace, which looks really good in a tablet and a phone, is called Triple Town. And I was really curious about this. I saw it advertised on the Google Marketplace several weeks ago. I'm like, what is this? All right, well, it's free. I'll give it a chance. And I thought to myself, huh, now how does this work? And I'm just sitting on a beach and kind of, all right, I've got some time. So the game itself is set up in a grid. You have a little town, and what you need to do is you need to build that town. And you need to basically find 3 like items. And those 3 like items will form a new item. And the items that you have are very simple. They are grass, a bush, a tree. And then they build homes and churches. It sounds very bizarre if I'm going to explain this to you. But let me show you how it works. So here I've got a town kind of building. There's a grid. There's kind of like 6x6 here. And so I've got grass here. I could do this. I could hit that little piece of grass and have that create a bush, or I could have found another area to place it. And what you want, your goal, you've got these little goals here, your goal to 20,000 points. I mean, really, you can log into OpenFaint, you can see how many people have, you know, what their scores are. And obviously, the point is to get a higher score than most of the people who are playing the game. And you keep going here. Now, this is so bizarre to explain. Now, you just sit here, and I swear to God, I could sit here for an hour tops, maybe even longer playing this game. So what you do is you just kind of create situations so that you can kind of clear the grid, create a bigger town. I know it sounds so silly. And you've got these little bears that are kind of, you know, in your way. You can't really plant your grass or your bush where a bear is. And then it gets kind of complicated. Now, see this crystal here? When you got a crystal, you got a free sort of, you find two like items. You don't need the third. And then you can create the next plant. But that's just a plant, because after you have three trees, then it creates a church. And then when you have, three trees, it creates the red farm. Then you create three farms, and it creates a camp. The camp creates a church. Church creates a mega church. The mega church gets you a treasure, and you get 5,000 points, and it keeps going and going.
You're addicted.
You have, like, crazy situations, like what I have going on my phone right now, if I can launch it here, where you've got tons of bears, and all these bears, if you trap them, they create churches, and you just kind of, you're going to have to kind of trap them. And I'm sitting here, and I'm going to trap you, and boom, now I've made a church, and you just keep going and going and going. Now, all right, here's the thing. You can get addicted. There are not unlimited plays. You have turns here. Right now, I've got 1,017 turns, and that could, you know, dry up. When that dries up, you can wait for it to recharge, or you can go and do in-app purchases, which that's not what I do. I try not to buy any in-app purchases. I know that the developers on the marketplace, they say, well, the game is free, but we still need to earn a living somehow. So eventually, after playing for a while, you will run out of turns and will need to wait for them to refresh over time. Or you could buy more turns with the free coins you earn in the game. Or if you love the game and would like to support small independent game developers like them, you can purchase unlimited turns forever for a one-time fee.
So why don't you want to support the developers?
I do. Well, it's not about not supporting the developers. It's about not playing the game for even longer than I already do. Because when I run out of turns, I have to force myself to put it down. Now, unfortunately, this game is available on many devices. So I have a few Android phones at home.
And it's available in your sleep.
And it's available in my sleep. I'm out of turns there. Let me go pick up that phone. It is a vicious cycle. Yeah. And I swear I have come across quite a few people that have been addicted to this game as well. It's a very easy, simple game.
Is this something you'd be recommending to people, or is this more of a cautionary tale?
I'm admitting what is going on in my world. Yep. You didn't even get to see the ninja bears. The ninja bears come and they jump all around the squares, and you can't kill them unless you have a bot. You get one of these like crazy imperial bots, and that's what you can kill them, and they turn into gravestones. Oh, two gravestones plus a bear makes a church. And it goes on and on and on. And that is my story of how I'm addicted to this game. And you could choose to download, vote, or whatever. But I'm giving you sort of real time. This is what's going on in my world. And it's kind of crazy. That is
Triple
Town.
She's giving you a little sample of Triple Town crack.
Exactly.
First one's free.
You're going to go home. You're going to get addicted.
Oh, there's the bot. See? And then I can get rid of that stupid gravestone. And now I can free up some space. And I could still keep going and growing. Pieces of grass make the bush.
You have a problem.
This is actually an arena. This is an intervention. Jason, Tim, and I are here.
Why do I need an intervention? Because
we love you and we're worried about it.
What are you doing to yourself? You're having fun.
Are you guys talking to me? I'm sorry. I've got too much fun,
Eileen.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, while Eileen wins the game, officially wins it, more than anyone else has ever won.
That's the only way I could sell it, because if you don't understand the addictive nature of this, you probably go, what? Well, that's kind of just a cutesy game. Oh, no.
One of the in-app purchases are the Triple Town Methadone, which actually helps you play Triple Town less. It makes you think that you're playing Triple Town, but not as nearly as invasive.
They call it Double Town.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got tons of five-star ratings.
Single Town.
They have an average rating of 4.6. Oh, I am
sure
not the only one addicted to this game.
Oh, no,
and
I'm sure
Spry Fox LLC, I hope I gave you a couple more downloads here, and maybe I will eventually probably buy the unlimited turns just to support the developer. I'm playing it so much. But I do need to put it away.
Yeah. Put it down.
Somebody has like a million points. And I'm like, how do you get a million points on this person?
Well, you know how. They get addicted.
I know.
Yeah, you'll find out.
Wow. And I'm like, how do I get
You should know better
points?
Than anyone, Eileen. All right, so that is Triple Town.
Come join
if
us.
If you want to spend the rest of your life playing
it's like
that
a
game.
Cult.
You can. So, okay, so this week's arena was great. We have AnyDo, we have Handy Scanner Free, Cerberus, and Triple Town. All very different apps, and I love it when it works out like that. Go to bit.ly/49AAApoll. It's bit.ly/49AAApoll. And let us know what you think. What's the best app that we covered today? And the winner wins nothing but bragging rights.
I think if I had to make an early guess, I think Tim's going to take this on.
Yes,
oh, yeah. That was really good.
This is
going to
be a guest one, I think.
Because, honestly, the taking the picture of that thief, boom.
Yep.
Man,
I heard this was pretty competitive. I was a little nervous.
You brought your A game, dude.
Yeah, you did well.
Yeah.
You did well. You brought your game. That's all we ask.
I told you I was going to
Wow,
for
look
it
at
myself.
It. Look at it. Run away.
I know. Yeah, it's
Sorry,
dude,
guys.
And it's, theft it's is no on. Joke.
Yeah.
I mean, when your phone is lost,
Yeah, well, that has some really cool security features to it as well. So bit.ly/49AAApoll.
Are you watching this? This is amazing. It's got 70%. Of the vote so far.
I understand.
Winner, winner, chicken.
I installed it for on my phone for Tim's kind of walkthrough on it. And
I like it when a guest wins because I always feel bad when I give bad news. Like, oh, you didn't win, dude. But thanks for being on the show.
I'm sorry. Your life is
seriously,
ruined.
Seriously,
yeah,
like, put the phone down.
Stop
I can multitask.
Like, seriously, the camera is just on you and you're just sitting there going...
I'm talking just like I normally would. And
if you think your app is good enough... To take Eileen over.
look at the focused attention on this woman.
I know. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
If your app is good enough for me to put this down.
To do this to Eileen, send us an email, aaa@twit.tv, and let us know. We're going to be picking in the next couple of days because we want to spend the next 5 or 6 days with the apps that we choose. So aaa@twit.tv, and let us know. We will talk about your app if you get selected by one of the three of us on next week's show. And that is it for this week. Tim Schofield, thank you so much for joining
us.
It's been awesome having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jason, Eileen, and Ron. Nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tim, this is the point where you can pimp whatever you have going on. Tell us all about the stuff that you're doing with the ACS and, anything else you want.
Sure, yeah. I mean, generally, I'm more into the rooting scene. I do videos on YouTube. I review devices. Mainly I do how-to videos in regards to how to root different phones. Right now I'm mainly with Sprint Android phones. I have branched out into a couple other carrier phones, but I definitely plan to in the future get into other carriers' phones. I do how to root, how to unroot, how to install ROMs. I review many different ROMs.
Oh, nice.
And just general Android videos. I mean, I'll do some app reviews here and there. I have a show basically teaching everyone different things having to do with Android development. It's called QB King 77's Corner. Generally, I just teach people do's and don'ts and give them tips and answer questions on the show just in regards to just Android development and with rooting ROMs, kernels, hacks, etc.
Awesome. Yeah, we get a lot of interest in that with the followers of the show. So definitely check Tim out. You can find him acsyndicate.net, your YouTube channel, youtube.com/QBKing77, and then you're, of course, on Twitter @QBKing77.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks again, Tim. We'll have you back
soon.
Thank
you.
Yep. Right awesome.
On. All right, that's it. Go.
Seriously, we're not kidding. She's obsessed. This isn't even like a punchline. She's still playing. It's amazing.
I'm doing really well. I'm at 29,000. I need to get to 50.
So you can find me at about.me/RonXO. It's got links to my Twitter, my Facebook, Google Plus, all that fun stuff. And if you're into comics, check out graphically.com, where we've got apps for Android devices where you can read digital comic books on there. And if you're really into comic books, check out ifanboy.com, which is a website that I help run, which covers the world of comic books and all the good stuff. And I can focus while doing a show.
Did I tell you, there's the ninja bear right now.
Boy.
He jumps around.
Seriously, I feel so bad. It's Tom who I feel worse for. Tom's
crazy.
The one who's the real victim in all this.
Oh, no. Do I have two ninja? Oh, no. I've got two ninja bears. I'm Eileen Rivera. Eileen TV on Twitter. gplus.to/EileenRose.
Tough love. I'm not helping out in this episode.
Did I not get it right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. And about.me/EileenRose as well.
All right, and I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter or about.me/Jason Howell. You can find me there as well. That is it for this week. Again, thank you once again to Tim Schofield.
Thanks, Tim,
for joining us. You can hit us up on email, aaa@twit.tv. You can send us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can find the show on Twitter. It's at Android Show. Our show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA with all the links of the stories that we talked about today, including the apps. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That is it for this week's episode of Mobile World Congress. I mean, All That Android. We'll see you guys next week for another episode of All That Android.
Bye, everybody.